Once a long time ago, there was a town. And in the morning, all of a sudden, Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov! Somebody had a little baby. Mazel Tov! Everybody in that neighborhood was so happy on their street because they had a baby on that street. And about a block away, all of a sudden, also, Mazel Tov! Mazel Tov! A little baby was born also to that family. Two Mazel Tovs in the same day, the same morning. Two women had babies about the same time. Oh boy, now this was a little town. And they were so excited because two simchas in one day. And came Friday night. What goes on Friday night if a baby boy, by the way, it's two baby boys. What happens if a baby boy is born, or two baby boys, what happens on Friday night?
The Shalom Zachar.
Very good. They make a Shalom Zachar. And in this town, two Shalom Zachars. Now, Baruch Hashem, here in our neighborhood where Kenai Nahara, so many Yiddish mishpachas living, sometimes, I remember, there are sometimes seven Shalom Zachars in one night. I remember, I think there were, that was the most, maybe there was more than that, but seven Shalom Zachars in one night. Because Kenai Nahara, there are a lot of families, and many times the women will have in the same week the babies, and by Friday night, there will be a lot of Shalom Zachars. And that's not even mentioning the girls that were born, but they don't make a Shalom Zachar for a girl. Here in this town, the two babies were born on the same day, and there were two Shalom Zachars that Friday night, which was a big deal for that town, and everybody was so happy, such a big simcha. And then, what's going to be the next simcha after the Shalom Zachar? Who wants to tell me? What's going to be the next simcha in the town after the Shalom Zachar?
The bris.
The bris. On the eighth day is the bris. Now, both of these babies, we're going to have the bris on the same day. Now, just by the way, you have to know something before we get to the bris part of the story. One of the tatis, during the time that these simchas were going on, one of the tatis of the babies became very sick. And he had to go to bed, and he had to lay in bed. So there was a simcha and a sad thing going on at the same time. The simcha of the baby, but the sad thing that the tati got so sick he had to be in bed. And the doctors came, and they said, well, we want to have him to be well for the bris. Because even by the Shalom Zachar, he was in bed. He wasn't able to come out and make a l'chaim with everybody. But by the time the bris came, that tati was very, very sick. Because the medicines and the different things the doctors did not help. And the doctors said, we're very afraid that this man is going to, chas v'shalom, pass away. We don't even want to say the word, what happens when a person is not living. So we'll say it in a different way. The doctor said, we're afraid that any minute he's going to pass away. Oy vey. But everybody hoped for the best, that he should be okay by the time the bris is going to come. Well, kinalach, it came the day of the bris, and people came to the shul, and they were getting ready for the two brisen that were supposed to be the same day. And of course, everybody is excited, you know, there's going to be a simcha, and everybody's hoping that the man will have the refuah shleima, the tati will come to the shul in order to be in the by the shul for the bris. They hope he's going to be fine. Now, what's the man called who holds the baby while the moyel makes the bris? He's sitting down holding the baby. It's a big schus. It's a big, big special thing to be that man holding the baby. What is he called? Okay, it's called the sandik. Who ever heard of the word sandik? Okay? The sandik is the one who holds the baby while the moil makes the bris. Sometimes it could be the father, or it could be a rav, or it could be somebody else. The morning came for the bris. Everybody's in a good mood. A simcha, two simchas. Now, there were two sandiks in the shul. One, who was going to be the sandik for one of the brisen, his name was Reb Avraham. And the other one is Reb Shlomi. Reb Shlomi is going to be for one, and Reb Avraham is going to be for the other. Now, since it's one small town, who comes to the bris? Everybody in the town is going to come to the bris, and both brisen will have the same people there. The only difference is that it's going to be different babies, but, you know, the people by the bris, the people from the shul, the people from the town, they're all neighbors, they're all friends. And they bring the first baby. And everybody's excited. And the moil is there, it's the same moil for both babies. And the sandik Rav Avraham is holding the baby, and the tati is there. And they make the special brachas, and they make the bris, and they say l'teira l'chupa l'maisim toivim, and they drink the wine and all the things they did by the bris, and everybody's so happy. They made the first bris, and everybody's wondering, what about the second bris? Where's the baby? The baby's not here. Where's the mommy? Where's the family? They're not here. Oh, they remembered, the tati's very sick. Maybe he couldn't make it to shul. After all, the doctors said they were afraid he was going to pass away. They thought he'd get better by now. Oy vey, he must be at home. Then a few people were talking. A few people came now from the outside. Relatives of the second family. They're talking very low. And people go over to see what's happening with the second family. And these people say, we're going to leave the bris for later, a few hours later. Now, the sandik, Reb Shlomo, who's supposed to be for the second baby, is wondering, why do we have to leave the bris for later? Why can't we make the bris also now? No, we'll make it later, a few hours later. And everybody goes over to find out why should it be later. And the people say, well, the doctors say that they expect the father to pass away any minute. And what we're going to do is wait till the father passes away. Then we'll make the bris on his baby. And the name of the new baby is going to be, can anybody figure out what name they want to use? Why do they want to wait till the father unfortunately passes away? Because they want to use whose name for the new baby? Whose name do you think they want to use for the new baby?
The father's.
The father's name. They'll name the baby the same name as the father. That way, his name will go for the baby. So they wanted to give the child the father's name. Now, Kinalach, everybody knew Reb Shlomi. Shlomi was going to be the sandik. He was a fine man, a big Talmud Chochem. Reb Shlomi got very upset. He says, what? You're going to wait till the father passes away and then make the bris on the baby? Everyone is standing around and everybody is waiting for someone to pass away? You're just waiting for that? No way. Let's everybody go over to the house of the family with the second baby. Everyone come with me. And they all go now to the house of the sick man and the family of the second baby, and everybody is in that house. And there are candles burning, and there's a minyan saying Tehillim, and their family from that family that came from other places, And everyone is very sad and crying. And in the middle of the room is the bed, with the tati in the bed. His eyes are closed, and he's breathing very hard. And the doctors are walking back and forth. And the mommy is crying, and the little baby is in the corner, and the little vagala over there. And that's the scene, what they see. All of a sudden, Rabbi Shlomo comes in. What's going on over here? Oh, what's going on? What do you see? Very sad. Any minute the tati's going to pass away. What do you mean? There's a bris. Let's make a bris. Let's make a mazel tov, a simcha. We have to make a bris on this baby. All of a sudden, the tati in the bed, who had the eyes closed, and at first the doctors started to scream, "Be quiet, be quiet. He's going to pass away any minute, and you come in screaming about a bris." And all of a sudden they look at the man in the bed, and all of a sudden his face looks a little better. Before, it didn't look very good. His face looked a little better, and his eyes are starting to open. Look, the tati's opening up his eyes. All of a sudden he starts to look around. Look, for a few days he didn't open his eyes and look around. Now he's opening up his eyes and looking around. And all of a sudden, the tati in the bed starts to sit up. And he starts to say, "What's going on over here? How come everybody's looking at me? How come everybody's here? Why am I in bed? What's going on? And I heard about a bris." "What bris?" "Well, what do you mean, what bris? Your baby is supposed to have a bris." "Of course my baby's supposed to have a bris. Is today the bris? I don't even know what day it is. I've been sleeping so long. So let's make the bris. How come I'm in my pajamas? What am I supposed to do? And be in pajamas for a bris? Where's my clothes? Bring me Nagelwasser. I want to get up. Let's make the bris. What are you doing over here, everybody? What's all these candles for? What are the doctors doing here? What's everybody looking at me? I want to get dressed and go to the bris." All of a sudden, he gets out of bed, gets dressed, and he's ready for the bris. And everybody's in the house already, so they make the bris in the house. And it's a big simcha. And Baruch Hashem, everything was fine. And the baby was fine. And the tati lived for many years more, until he was a zaydi, an old zaydi. Akin Allah, everyone looked at Reb Shlomo, the tzaddik. They said, "Reb Shlomo, are you a tzaddik? Do you have Ruach HaKodesh? Can you make nisim? Can you ask Hashem to make for you nisim? We didn't know you're such a big tzaddik. After all, because of him, this whole thing happened." And listen, Reb Shlomo said, this is very interesting, Ken Alach. Reb Shlomo said, "No, I didn't do this because I'm a tzaddik. I didn't do anything special. All I did was I did what I learned in Chumash and Rashi. I figured this out, what to do, from learning Chumash and Rashi. Now look what you can figure out from Chumash and Rashi." Now listen to what Reb Shlomo said. You have to listen very closely. Reb Shlomo figured out this whole thing from Chumash and Rashi. In Parshas Vayera, it says that Hashem sent three malachim to Avraham Avinu. Malach Mechoyel, Malach Gavriel, and Malach Raphael. Now, why three malachim? Avraham needed guests. He could have had one guest. Hashem sent three malachim because each malach had a special shlichus to do in the world, and they all came together. Malach Mechoyel, he's the malach of good news and the malach of kindness and goodness. He came down to tell Sarah that she's going to have a baby boy. She's going to have Yitzchak. He told her good news. And of course, telling Avraham and Sarah both that they're going to have a baby. That's Malach Mechoyel's job. Malach Gavriel came down to do a punishing job. Malach Gavriel is very strong. He is the Malach who's sent to punish. and to do very strict things for Hashem. He came down to turn Sodom over, to turn the cities of Kikar HaYarden over and destroy them because of all of the Avedas that they were doing for all of those years. That's the job of Malach Gavriel. Then it says Malach Raphael came down to do two jobs. Now what do you mean two jobs? Rashi also says a Malach really can only do one thing at a time. One shlichus. But these two jobs were along the same lines. In other words, as long as he was doing one, he could do the other also. It's like part of the same job. Malach Raphael was sent down to give Avram a refuah shlema because he just had the bris milah and he was hurting. So Malach Raphael is the doctor Malach, and he gave Avram a refuah shlema to feel better. And Malach Raphael also came to save Loit. Loit was living in Stoim. Stoim was going to be destroyed, and Malach Raphael would go over there to save Loit and his family from being destroyed. Now, Kenalach, Malach Raphael had two jobs, right? Now, how many Malachim are there in the Himmel? Only three or more than three? More than three. Do you know that there are thousands and thousands and millions of Malachim in the Himmel? Whenever the Eibishter needs a Malach, he has many Malachim to choose from. Now, why couldn't the Eibishter pick four Malachim to send to Avram? He sent three Malachim. One of them has one job, another has another job, and Malach Raphael has two jobs. Wait a minute. Why can't the Eibishter send four Malachim? Each Malach should have his own job. And that way, there would be four Malachim. Four jobs, four Malachim. What? The Eibishter has to save money or save Malachim that he has one Malach doing two jobs? He could have chosen four Malachim instead of three. Now, this is Reb Shlomo talking to the people. Very interesting. He says like this. That Eibishter had to pick only Malach Raphael and not four Malachim also. Why? Because Loit, what kind of a person was Loit? Loit is living in Stoim and he's going to be saved from Stoim. What kind of a person was Loit? Was he a tzaddik that Hashem wanted to save him? Or was Loit a Rasha? Loit was a Rasha. He did not have a schus on his own to be saved. He was only saved because he was Avram's family. Now, Loit by himself, does he deserve a Malach? By himself, Loit, because he was the Rasha, does he deserve that he should have his own special Malach come to Stoim to save him? No. Why did he get a Malach? Since Malach Raphael came anyway to help Avram to get a refuah shlema. So, as long as Malach Raphael is already there by Avram, he's already in the world, so from Avram he'll go to Loit and save Loit, because he's already there. But, if it was not for Avram, if it wasn't that Malach Raphael should be sent to Avram, do you think that Malach Raphael would have come especially for Loit? No. That's why Malach Raphael did both things. Because he already came to Avraham, he already went to Loit. But if he wouldn't have come for Avraham, Loit didn't have enough schus to have a Malach come to him. So the Eibishter would not have sent a fourth Malach, right? Now, Reb Shlomo said the same thing over here. Why was it that I said we should make the bris, that we should not, chas shalom, wait for this man to pass away, but we should go and make the bris right away? I said like this. Who comes, Kenalach, to every bris? There's a Malach that comes to every bris. Who's the Malach that comes to every bris? Which Malach comes to every bris?
Eliyahu Navi.
Eliyahu Hanavi. Eliyahu Navi, Kenalach, is now a malach in the Himmel. He used to be a tzaddik in the world. He went alive in the Shemaim. He's a malach now. And he comes to every bris, and of course he comes to every seder. So I said like this. Maybe this man who's chas v'shalom going to pass away, he could also have a malach come to help him to have a refuah shleima. But for whatever reason, he does not have the schus to have a malach come to give him a refuah shleima. But maybe if we make the bris, and by the bris comes Eliyahu HaNavi, who's a malach, maybe as long as Eliyahu HaNavi, who's a malach, is already by the bris, maybe he'll also be able to help this man to have a refuah shleima, because a malach can help a person to have a refuah shleima. So if we, as soon as we start the bris, what happens? Eliyahu HaNavi comes, and he sees there's a sick man in the room. As long as he's already there, he might as well also help the sick man. So he made the bris, and Taka, the sick man, had a refuah shleima. So we see, Kenalach, he just learned Pashat HaChumash and Rashi. The malach is already there. As long as he's already there, he can also do a little bit more. Eliyahu HaNavi came to the bris. He saw the sick man, so he helped the sick man have a refuah shleima. Of course, it's Hashem who helps, but of course, the malach is a shliach for Hashem's bracha. In the beginning of the world, by Adam and Chava, and even Cain and Hevel, they knew about Hashem. I mean, even Cain and Hevel, they made korbanos to Hashem. Later on, people started forgetting, until by the time of Noach, they were schlecht, believing in Getchkes. How did it happen? I'll give you this example. It's a pretend example, but it teaches you a true thing. One day, a group of people are walking along, and all of a sudden, they all fall into a hole. Fall way, way down into a deep pit. And they're all trapped in the hole now. Help, help, we're trapped in the hole. And it's straight up, it's impossible to climb out. Help, we're way down in the hole. Oy vey. And of course, after a while, they get hungry and they get thirsty and they're trapped in the hole. There's nothing to eat in there. There's no stores down there. There's no food. And they didn't have any food with them. All of a sudden, a man way, way up hears the screaming and the yelling. And he looks down, he pokes his head into the hole. They see him way, way up there. Mister, mister, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're trapped in this hole. The man says, I can't get you out, but I could get you food and drinks. I'll be right back. And the man goes and he gets food and he gets drinks. He puts it into a box. He ties a rope on the box. And he lowers the rope down, way, way down, until the box goes down all the way to the bottom. And the people take out the food and the drinks, and they say, oh, thank you, mister. You gave us food. You gave us drinks. Thank you very much. You're so wonderful. You're so nice. And the man takes now back the rope and the box. And when it came for breakfast again, he gave them the food for breakfast. And when it came lunchtime, he gave them the food for lunchtime and the drinks. And when it came supper time, and each time the people said, thank you for giving us the food. You're such a wonderful man. Now again, this is a made-up thing, but it's teaching you something. So who are the people thanking for the food? The man. Right? Now he did not always stick his head over and look down. But, you know, they saw him a few times and they knew that he was giving them the food. And when the rope came down and the box, they knew the man was giving them the food and they thanked him. Now, many, many years went by. Remember, this is just a made-up thing, but it's teaching you something. Many years went by and these people lived in the hole. And they had children. And the older people now got very old and they passed away. And now the children are living in the hole. And each and every day, there came down the rope with the box with the food. And when the children had fallen down into the hole, they were very little babies, so they don't remember what happened in the beginning, but now they were big. So they talked amongst themselves, and they said, where does that box with that rope and that food, where does all that come from? Oh, yeah, yeah. Our parents taught us that there was a man that gives it. So every day the man gives it. Oh, yeah? That's what our parents told you? Yeah, that's what our parents told us. Yeah. There's a man. Did you ever see the man? No. But there's a man. Okay. So they thanked the man also. Well, these people had children. And these people got old and passed away. And now their children grew up. And they're living in the hole. And the children of these people, they said, where does all this food come from with the rope, with the box? Well, don't you remember our parents said there must be some kind of a man or something up there? No, I don't even remember that. In fact, our parents weren't so sure. You know what I think it is? I think that the rope and the box come down by themselves. They come down by themselves. I don't see anybody. I just see a rope and a box. Yeah, it just comes by itself. Okay. Well, one day, they were very hungry, and the rope and the box didn't come. So they start davening, they start calling out, they start saying, rope, box, please, we need food, please, rope, please, box, give us food. And after a while, the rope and the box comes down with the food. Oh, thank you, rope, thank you, box, thank you very much, rope and box. You're so wonderful, rope. You gave us the food. The rope let down the box, and the box gave us the food. Thank you, rope. Thank you, box. Now, did they thank the man who's using the rope and the box, and the rope and the box are nothing? Or they think that the rope and the box have their own power to come down and give them food? What do you think?
That they think the rope and the man and the rope in the box have enough power to come down by it.
Yeah. And they didn't think about, well, this rope and the box are nothing, and it's really a man up there, because they didn't see the man. And Ken Olach, the same thing. When Hashem made the world, Hashem gives us food, Hashem gives us rain, Hashem gives us everything, but He uses different kinds of things. Like Hashem wants to make it warm. How does He make it warm? He uses the sun. Right? The sun shines, makes it light, makes it warm. Hashem wants to give rain. What does He use? The clouds. And the clouds give the water in order to for us to have rain. If we need the clouds to come, Hashem uses the wind. Now, in the beginning, the people knew about Hashem, and Hashem uses these things. They dive into Hashem, and they thank Hashem. Baruch Hashem, it's nice and sunny. Baruch Hashem, we have light, and it's warm. Baruch Hashem, we have rain. But later on, Ken Olach, the people didn't think so much about Hashem. They forgot to connect Hashem to all of the things that Hashem made, and all they saw was what their eyes showed them. Oh, look, the sun is shining. Thank you, sun, for shining. And if the sun is not shining and it's too cold, or they need the sun, they say, sun, please come and shine. And the sun comes and shine. Thank you, sun. Thank you. And they need water, or they need rain. So instead of davening to Hashem, we need rain. Hashem brings the rain. They say, thank you, clouds, for giving us rain. Or they say, clouds, please come and give us rain. And then later on, people started making pictures of these things. Instead of going out and looking at the sun, oh, it's too bright, hurts your eyes. So they make a picture of the sun. And they dive into the picture. And that reminds them of the sun. And they say, if we dive into this picture of the sun will shine. If we dive into this picture of rain or clouds, it's going to rain. And later on, they started making getchkes. And they say, this is the getchke who's in charge of the sun. And this is the getchke who's in charge of the rain. And if we dive into the Getchkes, they'll bring the sun, or they'll bring the rain, or they'll make the wind blow. This is how Getchkes started in the world. It's like you go to a faucet and you start talking to the faucet. Please give me water. And you turn it on and water comes out of the faucet and you say, thank you, faucet, for giving me water. I mean, everybody knows that the faucet, if you go to the plumbing store, you go to the hardware store, a faucet is there exactly like on the sink, but it doesn't do anything. Only the water that comes from far away comes through the faucet. Does it make sense to thank the faucet for giving you water?
No.
Thank you, bathtub. You gave me a bath. Thank you, shower. Thank you, faucet. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's only that it goes through this. So the same thing in Allah. People forgot that Hashem is making everything happen. Hashem is using these as His tools. And they started thanking the tools instead of Hashem.